good to see you today. Welcome to Life CC, Church in the Mall. So glad you're here. So I want to say welcome again to our guest. We're so glad you're with us, and to all the church family that comes all the time. I love it that you're here as well. Before I get started, though, I need to wish a happy birthday, but I don't see him. Where's Eli? Where is Eli? We've lost him. He's serving. He's working. So, well, today's my son's birthday, wherever he is. So if you see him today, his job is to oversee all our serve teams, and he also breaks down part of what's going on out in that foyer while we're in here. He's out there serving, so I love a good servant's heart. So give him a high five today and tell him happy birthday. And let me pray. Before I do, I want to pray for all that's going on through the aftermath of what happened with Irma coming through Florida, and we want to pray for those people down there that are struggling. To some don't even have their power yet, and their houses have been flooded, and I want to let you know that we're responding to that as a church to take supplies to them. And if you did not see our social media post this week where we said bring these supplies in, my first thing to say to you is you need to get social media and follow us, because we like to tell you how to respond to things, and we use social media as one of the ways to get the word out. And so we just found out late in the week that a truck from Life Point Church is going down to Florida, and so we said, hey, we want to put stuff on the truck with you. And so we sent out a social media post several times, and so if you missed it, go online and get a way to follow us. It's not that hard. If you're old and you're like, I don't want to use it, it's all right. Listen, I'm kind of like aging out of it, but I love it. You can get on there. Your phone works as good as a high school student phone. You can follow us. It's awesome. So do that. But next week we will probably, during the week, post again of another way for us to give. There hasn't been a truck lined up that we're aware of going to Florida, so maybe we work it out and we take our own truck down. But we'll be posting this week on social media, so on Instagram and Facebook, we'll be telling you this is what to bring next week so that you can be a part of it. And so we have a truck that's out front today. If you, like, desperately want to get stuff on the truck, go right after service, go to the store, get bottled water, and then take it over to Life Point Church, and maybe you can beat their truck out and drop it off there. So let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. We thank you that even in the midst of a hurricane, your presence shows up. And Lord, I thank you that the church has been such a beacon of hope during this season there, God. And Lord, we pray that you would help those that are struggling in their personal stuff with homes and pets and all the things that they're going through. God, that you would bring a level of comfort through the gifts and the supplies that are being sent, and that you would just help people recover. Use the church to be that shining light. Father, I pray for the sermon today. I pray that your anointing would be on it, that we would have a hunger for your word here, and I thank you that that's part of who we are. We love you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're in the last part of a series. Today's the last one of our series called Whisper. And if you've just shown up today or you missed, you can go online and find out how to hear the voice of the Lord. My goal today in this sermon is to have every person that's here today leave here with an ability to hear God's voice on your own. So that's my goal. So you're going to walk out of here and go, I know how to do this. And so I'm going to teach you that today. We're going to study out of 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. So 10 verses. First service, I'll confess to you that I did not get through all the verses, and we stopped short. So we'll do our best this service, and maybe if you were in first, you came back so you could hear the rest of the sermon. That's awesome. So, but let me tell you what we're setting up. There's a young boy. His name is Samuel. Samuel was taken to the temple to serve there and to minister as a young boy. And his parents took him there and as a dedication to the Lord. His life was dedicated to serving God. At the temple there was a priest. His name was Eli. Now, some people have asked us if we named our son Eli after this Eli in the Bible, and the answer is no, because you're going to find out that this Eli, he stopped listening to the Lord, and so we didn't want that to be his heritage in his life. And so no, we didn't name him after this Eli. This Eli was the priest, and you'll find that he did not heed the voice of God. And so let me take you to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So the voice of God wasn't heard often. It was rare in those days. They didn't hear God speaking to the people very often. It was very rare. And the reason was that in those days, Eli as the priest, he failed to heed the voice of God. Eli had two sons that were sinful in how they lived, and they defiled the temple through sinful acts. And God sent a prophet to Eli to say, you need to clean up this mess with your kids, and you need to purify the temple, and we need to have a righteous place again. And Eli failed to obey the voice of the Lord. And as a result, because Eli disregarded the voice of the Lord discontinued speaking to him. And so it's true that when we stop listening to God, we stop hearing his voice over time. It would be kind of like if you had a friend and you saw something going on in your friend's life, and you're like, hey, I'm going to go help them out a little bit and say, hey, I see a problem in your life. I'm going to share this with you and help in some way. And your friend says, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, the next time you see something, you're probably not going to rush back and tell them, because they didn't heed what you said. There wasn't a connection there. And so that was what was Eli. He disregarded the voice of God. So God disregarded speaking to him. He discontinued speaking to him. So it became rare or uncommon those days. When Eli devalued God's voice, God decreased his volume. He quit speaking. He left him alone. God simply stopped speaking. And as a result, because Eli was supposed to be the voice of God to the Israelites, because he stopped hearing God, he had nothing to say to the Israelites. Therefore, the Israelites found themselves living in sin. They lived pointless and lawless lives because they were not hearing from God on a regular basis. They did not have godly instruction, teaching, or guidance because Eli stopped listening to the voice of the Lord. Still true for us today. If we disregard God's voice, it's going to become increasingly harder for us to hear his voice over time if we don't value what he is saying to us and heed his voice. Someone may say, well, Pastor Tim, listen, I hear what you're saying. We need to hear God. And the best way to hear God is to take time to hear God. Like, you have to stop and listen and spend some time with God and have opportunity for him to speak to us. But Pastor Tim, you don't understand my schedule. Maybe you're saying to me, I'm a salesman, I'm on the road all the time. My work schedule is just crazy. We have children I'm trying to raise, and we have soccer games, and we're so busy with our life, and there's housework to do. I'm overwhelmed. I don't have time to spend with God that way. I don't have time for that. And so what I would say back to you in my most grace-filled, loving, compassionate, pastoral voice I have, I would say, my friend, you don't have a time problem. You have a value problem, because you don't value the voice of the Lord, because whatever you value, you prioritize. I'll give you an example. If I said to you, if you come to the church tonight, meet me here, 2:00 in the morning, I'm going to give you $1. Well, you know what's going to happen? You're going to sleep right through that dollar. You're going to be like, that doesn't interest me. There's not enough value on that. But if I said to you, hey, meet me tonight at the church at 2 a.m. and I'm going to give you $10,000. Woo, like, yeah, so all of a sudden, you're going to show up. You're going to be here. Why? Because value prioritizes your life. And so when it comes to the voice of the Lord, if you value that voice in your life, you will prioritize it in your life. So that's why I've named the sermon today, just so you'll know, the value of his voice. Do you value the voice of God in your life? Do you value that priority to hear God that will direct your life? Because for Eli, the priest, he stopped listening. He didn't put value on it. He said, I'm not gonna heed his voice. And as a result, it decreased in his life, and the people went visionless, and they lived sinful lives, and they were unfulfilled. Let me show you what Jesus says about this. In John chapter 12, 49, Jesus said, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I've spoken." What he is saying is Jesus says, I didn't live on my own accord. I lived according to what God told me to do. And he said, I didn't say anything that the Father didn't tell me to say. In other words, he would hear the Father, and then he would say what the Father said. He would see what he was doing, and he would do what the Father did. He got his instruction from God before he acted and before he spoke. You see, people in our culture today, we want a voice. We want to communicate and say, listen to me. I want to be influential. I see all the posts on Facebook. Everybody's posting something. We all feel like we're witty and have something important to say. And what really happens most of the time is we're just an echo. We see someone else's post and we rearrange it and say it ourselves so we sound important, you know, like, look at what I said. And so we try to get our voice out there. But I want to say to you this, when it comes to your influence and comes to having a voice, finding your voice starts with hearing his voice. That's where it begins. If you want to have something to say, you got to hear him. If you want something that matters, hear his voice. The best way to get people to listen to us is for us to first listen to God. And so God's calling us to hear his voice. Jesus had to hear his voice. Amen? That makes sense? It's good. That's good preaching, right? Help me out. Give me an amen. Thank you. Thought so. I just make sure you're with me. Listen, honestly, in first service, I didn't finish my sermon. Like, I preached way too long. But I told them, if I didn't say anything else, I fed you enough for the week. If you'll just listen to God and do what he says, I mean, that's going to, like, change your life. You got that, all right? So I haven't got to the second verse yet, and I've already preached enough for you. So you're good. If I don't finish, you can just park there. But listen, let me just go back to verse 1. I'm not really actually finished. What if we had a principle of our life? What if just like we said, you know what? What if we used our voice only after we heard his voice? Well, what if that was the framework of our life, that we're going to say, you know what? I'm not going to speak. I'm not going to act until I know this is what God is saying and doing. Would that change the way you spoke to other people? Like, as an example, what would it be like if before we talked about someone, we talked to God and heard what God said about them, and then we said that? Like that would be good gossip then. You know what gossip is when we run someone down. But if we were to go to God and hear what God says about somebody, and we were to gossip them, run them up, you know, if we were like, say, man, I heard about so-and-so. You know, anytime you start a gossip, you say, hey, Lean, I got to tell you about somebody. Well, you know what they're looking for. They're looking for some, you know, inside scoop about how they blew it. And you go, hey, listen, they're awesome. They're amazing. You ought to see how they parent their kids. They're amazing. People are like, that's what you're telling me? And let me tell you something. If you were to listen to God and say what God says, you would never have to hide and wonder if your words will catch up to you one day. Secrets don't have to be kept then. You don't have to wonder, well, I hope they don't say what I said. Why? Because you're saying what God said. What if before we responded to our roommates in college, dorm room, or apartment's mess? Let's just pretend you are the clean freak of your friendship. All right, so you're Mr. and Mrs. Clean, and you've got a roommate that's not. and you wake up Tuesday to go to class early. It's 8 a.m. You've got the early class, and you get up and you walk in the living room, and there are red Solo cups everywhere. And you begin to shake a little bit, and the pizza box is open, the sink is full. There's like cushions on the floor, and there's some person you don't know laying there, and you're like, and just before you go, you know, berserk and postal on them, you know, you pause and you say, God, what would you have me to say and respond? That might stop you from hurting people. All right, like that would, so like if we were to hear God first before we respond, because so many times we just respond out of emotion and not out of God's voice, and we do and say things we regret. What if by chance, before we put our child on Ritalin, we said, God, I know what the doctor said, but I want to hear what you say. I want to hear, what are you saying? Now, I trust my doctor. Thank God for doctors. Listen, they give us the best that they know. Sometimes God has a plan that we want to hear about. My opinion is this, that we're spirit-filled so that we can be spirit-led. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to lead your life. Do you value his voice? Do you put a value on it to where I've got to know what he says? I've got to know what he is saying in my life. Direct my life, God. 1 Kings chapter 3, 9 says, here's what I want. One of the kings prayed this prayer. He said, give me a God-listening heart so that I can lead your people well. Give me a God listening heart. I want that for my life. I want that for you, to have this God listening heart, so that not only can you lead others, but so that you can lead your life, so that you can have a God listening heart. That's the desire. That's what we want. That's the value you want to put on it. Verse 2. You ready for verse 2? That's awesome. We just took a long time on verse 1. The priest Eli, he disregarded the voice of God to speak, so God began to raise up. That's one thing God will always do. If one person won't get it done, God will find someone else that will. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 2, one night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. And verse 3 says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out. I want you to know that's good news. Because Eli had stopped listening. But God said, I still got my light on. He's like, I know that sometimes people don't get this right all the time, but God says, I'm still available. God says, I'm still here for you. You may have not listened to me for 10 years, but now you're ready because you heard a sermon, and God says, my light is still on for you. This is Motel 6 God. He's left the front porch light on for you. Amen. You can. He's ready for you. He's inviting you in. He's like, my light doesn't go out. Listen, if you're a brand new believer and you're like, this is all new, this is amazing for you. This is a moment for you to go, you know what? This little boy can hear God. I can hear God. God's inviting me in to know him and to hear him. He wants to speak to you. The light is on for all of us. He's got the light on. He's ready for you. 1 Samuel 3, verse 3 through 4, after it said that the light was still on, it says, Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. Quick history lesson. The ark of God was a chest that sat in the inner room of the temple where God's presence rested and was seated there. And so that's where God's presence was. And what we see is this young boy, Samuel, he was lying down. He was in the presence of God. He went to a place where he could rest in God's presence. You see, God's voice was rare to those that didn't listen. Samuel placed himself in a position where he rested in a quiet place. And he began, and it says in verse 4, then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel heard it, and he said, here I am. And here's a thought for you, that if you'll put yourself in a quiet place, you'll begin to hear God speak your name and talk to you. He was in a quiet place in the presence of God. We learn best to hear God in a quiet place more than you'll hear him at the workplace. Because when you're at work, you're busy. Your mind is doing its job. It's hard to pick up on all God is saying. You find yourself in a quiet place. What we really need is to have this fresh hunger, this value that we can say, God, I must hear your voice for my day. I need you, God. And if we'll increase the value of his voice in our life, his voice will get louder for us and we'll hear him more and more. Amen? So 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 5, it says, he, this is Samuel, he ran to Eli and he said, here I am, you called me. Now what was going on is young Samuel, 12 years old, he had not yet learned how to hear the voice of God. So when he heard something, he just made an assumption that that was Eli calling for him. So he ran to him and he said, here I am, you called me. But Eli said, probably like most parents have said, when your children come in at 2 a.m, he said, I didn't call you. Like, go back to bed and lie down. So he went and laid down. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and he went to Eli again and said, here I am, you called me. And so once again, Eli says, my son, like, son, please go lay back down. I didn't call you. And verse 7 explains what was going on. It says, now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. You see, Samuel had not learned to hear God for himself. At this point, Eli was the only voice of God that he'd ever heard. And so any time that he needed to go to God, he went to the priest. He hadn't learned to hear God on a personal level. He hadn't learned that God wanted to speak to him and say his name. And that's the same thing I want to say to you. God wants to say your name. He wants to be personal in your life. If the only time you hear God is if you come to church and you hear your pastor speaking, listen, that's great, that's wonderful, but God has so much more to say to you than in a 30-minute time on Sunday morning. He wants to speak to you all week long, and he's got your name. He knows you, and he wants it to be personal. And at this point, little Samuel, he hadn't learned, it says, to understand the voice of the Lord. So what he did is he would go to Eli. Samuel, fortunately, had enough wisdom and caught on to what was going on. And it says in verse 8 and 9, it says, a third time the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then Eli realized that this was the Lord talking to him. So Eli told Samuel, he said, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel took that instruction. He went back to where the presence of God was. He got quiet and he began to listen. Don't you know that Samuel didn't go to sleep after that? Don't you know he was like, my God is getting ready to say my name. I mean, there was an anticipation. There was an expectation that God was going to speak to him then. When we go into our quiet time, when we go to the place where we want to hear God, we need to go in with an expectation that God is going to say my name today. God is going to speak to me today. God's got something to say to me. And so he was instructed to go and lay and listen and respond to God. And he gave him instruction. I want to take what Eli said to Samuel and expand it just a little bit so that we can learn how to hear the voice of the Lord. And so the first thing I want to teach you as we learn how to hear his voice is, number one, you need to find a quiet place and a quiet time. Samuel was resting in the presence of the Lord. He was resting there. Let me go to 1 Kings. This is scripture that we have launched the series out of. And let me just read it to you real quick and talk to you about this quiet place. It says, the Lord said, go out. And he's talking to Elijah, by the way. So he told Elijah to go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore through the mountains, tore it apart, and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. Parents, let me ask you a quick question. Have you ever said to your children, hey, when you're inside, don't use your outside voice? you've done that, parents. You've said, you know, you have an inside voice and an outside voice. When you're outside, you use your outside voice. When you're inside, you use your inside voice. Listen, God has an outside voice. He can speak through hurricanes and disasters, and he speaks. He doesn't cause them, but I promise you he's speaking. And if we'll listen, we'll hear what God is saying. But God speaks to us in a whisper because he wants to be close to us. He has an inside voice, and he uses his inside voice to draw us close. You see, when someone whispers, you have to get closer to hear them. Matter of fact, you have to get a little intimate with them just a little bit if they whisper really soft, because you have to put your ear kind of close to their mouth. You get like you're getting face to face, and that's what God wants. He wants to draw you in. He wants you to come into a relationship with him. He wants to whisper his voice, because when someone whispers, we lean in to them. You see, God wants to speak to us in a whisper, not just so he can speak to us, but so that he can build a personal relationship with you. If God spoke with his outside voice, it would intimidate us. Like if he spoke with thunder and lightning every time, like we'd be, whoa, I don't know about this. But he speaks with a whisper because he loves us and he wants to be close. The whisper is gentle, but don't underestimate its power of his voice in your life. Amen? There's an author by the name of Mark Batterson. I recommend this book that's coming out next month. It's called Whisper, Hearing the Voice of the Lord. I don't know where he got the title of his book. I don't know if he saw my sermon series and thought I'll write a book after it. It was very funny. We'd named the series, and the next day there was a post on my social media, Mark Batterson's new book, Whisper, The Voice of the Lord, Hearing the Voice of the Lord. I was like, man, confirmation. I was like, this is going to be awesome. But what I did is I went and ordered his book because I wanted it to come in so that I could read his book about hearing the voice of the Lord so that I'd have some extra ammunition to preach with. But unfortunately, it doesn't come out till next month. But I signed up for a pre-release, and they sent me the first chapter this week. So I got the first chapter. And in it, I read the first chapter, and I read something that Mark Batterson wrote that I thought was so awesome. And so this is Mark Batterson's quote. I wish it were mine, but he said this, that God speaks the loudest when we are the quietest. Speaks the loudest when we're quietest. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still, like you have to be still so we can hear him, know him, hear his voice. There's just so many distractions that I think it's so hard to sit still today. I think it's so hard to park and give God time every day, to give him a segment of my life, because there's so much of the little phones with that social media I told you to get, but they distract us, and the emails and the texts and the calls, and it just so much can distract us. It's so hard to be still. I read this quote from a poet named John Donne, and he said, I neglect God and his angels for the noise of a fly. Just doesn't take much to get us off and miss God. But if we'll be still, we'll hear his voice. There's a place in Minneapolis. It's a laboratory, and they've designed the quietest room in the world. Guinness's Book of World Records has given it the record for being the quietest room in the world. They said it's 99.99% quiet. So quiet. And when people go in there, they say they can't stand up in the room because they get so disoriented, because our ears are supposed to help us feel the sound around us to give us our equilibrium balance. And so people go in this room, it's so quiet they can't hear anything and they can't keep their balance. So you have to go in and sit down. And they said the longest anyone has ever been in the room is for 45 minutes, because the sound gets so quiet that you start just getting disoriented, you kind of freak out in there. But they said there's something really amazing happens before you freak out. They said that your ears get in tune with listening to things that's never heard. They said it gets so quiet that your ears can actually hear a pin drop when it hits the floor. They said it gets so quiet that your ears begin to hear sounds that it doesn't hear the rest of your life, because there's so much ambient noise around you. When you quiet down, your ears start hearing things. They said that when you go in there, and after you sit there for about 15 minutes, you'll actually begin to hear your heart beat. They said you can hear the blood going through your vessels. You hear it. One guy kind of freaked out. He went in. He had a pacemaker. He could hear it clicking. And it just kind of tripped him out that he could hear the clicking, and he left. And he said, I can't take it. But here's the point, though, that when things get quiet, we hear things we don't normally hear. And it's true in the spirit life. When you get quiet and you get settled, you'll start hearing God in ways that you don't when you're so busy running around. We need a time where we hear God. We need a time where we collect our thoughts and we count our blessings. And we need a segment of our day, 15, 20 minutes, where we pray our prayers. But we need to learn to hear the whisper of His voice that directs our paths. So for you, find your spot, find your place. Make a plan. You may need to make boundaries in your life and say, hey, during this 20 minutes, don't say mama. I need my time. Find your spot. For some of you, it may be a chair in front of a window. For some of you, it may be a park bench. It may be your truck. Like, for some people, they might be able to find that spot in their living room. If you're a contractor, and maybe for you, you have to go to the work site 20 minutes early, and you have time with God in your truck, and you hear God. But we all need to find time to hear God's voice. Amen? Number two, and I'm going to go very quick, so write this down. We need to practice listening to God by asking specific questions. Specific questions. Sometimes we get so grandeur with our prayers that we can't hear God. Like, you know, you sit down with God and say, God, tell me how to change the world. Well, listen, you're not going to hear anything. That's too much. But if you say, God, I would like to know, yes or no, do I go to this college or not? And get specific and get simple. You'll start to hear God in simple ways. In the book of James, chapter 1, 5 and 6, it says, if you want to know what God wants you to do, ask Him. Like, but ask specific questions. Ask Him, and He will gladly tell you. For He is always ready to give a bountiful supply of wisdom to all who ask Him. He will not resent it. In other words, He wants to. But when you ask Him, be sure that you really expect Him to tell you. So, listen, I want you to ask specific questions. I'm going to put a few on the screen real quick as just an example so you can see this. So, if in this first section, general, you ask God, do you love me? Tell me ways that you love me. And just get your journal out and just start chasing something. He'll start speaking to you. What blocks me from moving forward in my relationship with you? You'll be surprised what you hear. Now, you may not want to hear it, but He'll talk to you, and you'll feel it. Now, I want to say this to you. Sometimes we disregard God because we think it's something we thought. I want you to know He speaks into your thoughts. Don't disregard our thought. When you ask a question like that and you get an impression, probably it's God. So questions, are there people who I need to forgive and release to a greater extent? You ask that question, somebody's going to pop up in front of you. You're going to be like, oh. Then you go, do I have to do that? Heed His voice. Heed His voice. One more section. Let's say you're married. God, how do you see my marriage? And start talking about your marriage. And ask this question, what would you have me to do to grow my marriage? I bet God will start speaking to you. You get real specific, and God will start speaking. Amen? All right, awesome. Listen, I'm wrapping up. Will you stand up with me? Thank you for being so attentive today. Be specific. I want to close back to our story with Samuel, because what happened was Eli said, go back and lay down and expect God to speak. And so the Lord came. So after Samuel went and laid down, it says the Lord came and stood there. I want you to know, if you'll give God time, He'll show up in your meeting. I mean, he'll come. His presence will be there. You don't have to wonder that. He's coming to speak to you. And it says this, that the Lord came and stood there calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. So I'm going to close this series with this thought here. Would you be willing to pray that same prayer that Samuel prayed? It was a bold prayer, and that one prayer changed the trajectory of his life as it will yours. And the one prayer, it's that seven-word prayer that will change your life, and it's, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." If you'll find a quiet place, and you'll start asking specific questions, and you say, "Speak to me, Lord," I promise you, you'll begin to hear his voice for your life. Father, I thank you for this church. Lord, I thank you that we're standing here today in your presence, and you're teaching us, instructing us how to hear your voice. And God, my prayer is that every person would leave today's message and they would find their quiet place. They would put a value on your voice, that tomorrow they would say, "God, I got to meet with you. I'm not going to miss tomorrow. I need your direction." And God, my prayer is they'd start asking a question. And they would hear your voice for themselves in a personal way. So, Father, bless your church today. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Come on, church.